Hello and welcome to PeopleSoft Q2 2022 results call. My name is Suzanne and I will be your coordinator for today's event. Please note, this call is being recorded and for the duration of the call, your lines will be on listen only. However, you'll have the opportunity to ask questions. This can be done by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad to register your question. If you require assistance at any point, please press star 0 and you will be connected to an operator. I will now hand over to your host, Byron Nicolaides, founder and CEO of PeopleSoft, to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Hello, everyone, and thank you very much for being with us late Friday with 35 degrees. At least that's the temperature here in Athens. I hope it's not much worse than the rest of the places where you are. Together with me is George Giannetsos, our CFO, and we will be presenting to you the Q2 results today. You can see the agenda if you turn on slide number 3. There are 4 agenda items, the key highlights, a business overview, an update on financials from George, and finally it's going to be a Q&A session. So if you move to page number 4, you'll see that Q2 was really good, almost in all areas. On the revenue side, our revenue was £28 million, 33% up versus Q2 21. LTM June 22 at £96 million. 8.3% up versus LTM March 22. And if we break it into two business lines, business and IT, LTM June 22 was at 82 million, plus 7.8% versus LTM March 22. And for languages, the relevant numbers were 13.5 million and plus 11.4%. On the adjusted EBITDA side, and adjusted EBITDA does not include the Axelos acquisition transaction costs if we exclude them. Q2 22 was 18.8 million plus 60% up versus Q2 21. LTM June 22 at 65 million plus 39% versus LTM March 22. And EBITDA margin at 68% versus 54% in LTM March 22. And if you include the expected synergies as well in the OM, the LTM June 22 pro forma EBITDA increases from 65 million to 73 million. Net debt on June 30, 2022, it's at 232 million, and that includes a cash position at 27 million. And this is in spite of the weakening of the pound that had a negative effect. And also the net debt to pro forma EBITDA in June 22 versus LTM March 22 from it's at 354%, further down from 354 times compared to 395 was 3 months ago. And of course, compared with 5.8 times in LTM March 21. From the commercial side, our half one was the best performing half one. Business and IT revenue, it includes Axelos, was up 35% versus half 1 21, and the languages revenue was plus 51% versus half 1 21. We completed the Axelos integration and the initial transformation plans approximately 12 months ahead of schedule, and all in all, the business is growing at a faster pace than before. And we can say that having completed the synergies and transferred the TSO and making the changes in the commercial policy, etc. End of June, we can say credibly that we have stabilized the business at a new base, and now we will start building on, because I see that the risks that were connected to the acquisition right now are not anymore there. If we move to slide number 6, this is a snapshot, and you can see where PeopleServe have delivered exams. It's a real time. We took a picture from our systems. Essentially, there is no place in the world, no country in the world, where we do not deliver exams. The size of the circle shows the size of the market, and it's interesting that you can see small places, even in small in the middle of the ocean, almost everywhere, PeopleServe is present, and people are taking our exams and using our frameworks. Moving to slide number 7, this is mostly for the newcomers, so I'm not going to read all the bullet points. It explains a little bit what PeopleServe does. But you can see that we delivered 700,000 exams, LTM June 22. Business is controlled 80% by myself and 20% approximately by FTV Capital. And the pro forma LTM KPIs, revenue is 96 million. With an EBITDA of 73 million, this is 76% EBITDA margin, approximately. Over 90% cash flow conversion. And with the adjusted EBITDA, the net debt is at 3.2 times. Now, if we see the revenue breakdown by product, exams are 74% versus to the previous slides, we separated the books from the others. So books is 8%, the first time we're showing this, and the others is 18%. If we do it by sector, you see IT and digital transformation is 52%, project management 33%, and languages 16%. By geography, you see UK 22%, Germany 7%, the rest of Europe 29%, US 10%, India 6%, and rest of the world 25%. And of course, if you see by client type, you see B2B business is at 89% and B2C at 11%. Moving to slide number 8, the key credit highlights as they have developed since the time that we issued the bond. Still, again, there is attractive industry backdrop, supportive tailwinds. All the world is moving towards digital transformation, which is a need globally of skilling, reskilling, and upskilling. And people and companies are investing into this, and this is very positive for our business and certification. We are a vertically integrated, global, and diversified leader, and there is a strong growth potential. And you can see this growth that's happening first time in the last years in our numbers. And this is across the board for IT, project management, languages. All three areas are growing, organic growth. Our business has high barriers to entry, driven by the fact that we have a strong brand recognition. In the 2 out of 3 areas, we are the global leader. We also control the intellectual property, especially on the frameworks, on the qualifications, and we own the technology platform. And this makes very difficult, especially recognitions and licenses for others to enter. We have a diversified client base. We have thousands of training organizations that deliver our certifications globally, and the users of our certifications are entrenched. When you start using the framework, the ITIL, the PRINCE2 as an organization, the tens of thousands of organizations, It's very difficult to change. As a result of the merger acquisition with Axelos, we created an IT powerhouse, and we started exploiting better the IT. Hence, you see the numbers right now appear in the books as well, and you'll see others in the future. And of course, the financial profile is very strong. It's a combination of growth. We have been growing 40% per year on the average CAGR in the last 10 years. This seems to be continuing in half one, based on the numbers. Very profitable, north of 65% EBITDA margin. And now it was 76%, and north of 90% cash conversion. And of course, we have a very committed management team that has been around for years and is led by me. I've been in this business for the last 22, 23 years, and my intention is to continue to be in the coming years. So I'm passing now to George for the financials update, and thank you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this call. For the financials update, we are moving to page 10. Here we have the financials evolution. Figures here have been calculated as the sum of the two standalone companies, excluding, of course, the intercompany transactions. Apart from the obvious steady growth, we can see both in revenue and profitability, but also the strong cash flow generation. We want to focus to the improvement we have made since the bond issuance last July. The highlighted table here is the LTM March 21, which was the pro forma numbers we used in the offering memorandum for the bond issuance. As we can see, the improvement between then and now is really important and significant. The exam volume is up 53%, 25% from business and IT, and 168% from the language exams. The exam growth also helped the revenue to grow by 35%, but also the EBITDA, the adjusted EBITDA, grew by 48%. And of course, this is a combination of revenue growth and gross profit improvement due to Axelos acquisition. At the same time, our CapEx remained stable for the examined period, and this helped our free cash flow generation to remain strong and in the range of 90%. So the key message of this slide is that the profile of the organization remains unchanged, strong growth year on year, high profitability, and high cash generation. Moving on to slide 11, in the left-hand side, we are comparing Q2 22 with the same period last year. It's obvious that we have a strong revenue growth by 33%, an adjusted EBITDA growth of 60% with an improvement in our EBITDA margin from 56% to 67%. On the right-hand side of this slide, we are comparing again the LTM financials, March, December, and June. But apart from the adjusted EBITDA, which was discussed in the previous slide, we included also the pro forma EBITDA, which is the adjusted EBITDA with the 12-month projected synergies. So we are comparing the 58 million of LTM March 21, which was included in our offering memorandum, with the 73% of LTM June 22. This is a 26 growth in our profitability in the last 12 months. The important message here is that this growth was driven purely by volume, because as we can see in the lower part of this slide, prices remain stable in the examined period. Moving on to slide 12, we included a synergies update. For the first 6 months of the year, we had an impact, a positive impact in our profitability of 8.1 million. 5.2 are coming from revenue synergies and 2.9 are coming from cost synergies. The annualized estimated impact is at the range of 15.8 million, which is, again, is half a million higher compared to the AOM figures. And another important note here, we managed to deliver the total of the projected synergies 12 months ahead of schedule. We're moving to the next page, page 13. Here we are demonstrating the deleverage capability of the organization. As we can see, the adjusted debt ratio, ratio compared to the gross debt came down from 5.8 to 3.9. And using net debt, it went down from 5.4 to 3.5. If we use instead of adjusted EBITDA, the pro forma EBITDA, including synergies, we went down from 4.4 times to 3.5 using gross debt and 4.1 to 3.2 using net debt. All the above mentioned are represented in a graph in the next slide, slide 14. All in all, the key message here is that the organization has an excellent capability of deleverage, mainly due to two reasons. One, high profitability, and second, high cash generation. In the following slide, slide 15, we have a small commentary on inflation impact and Ukraine war impact. Currently, there are no upward adjustments on our exam prices in 2022. We are not experiencing any significant impact due to inflation in our cost base. Similarly, on the Ukraine war, the anticipated impact is minimal and insignificant since both Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus are representing a very small fraction of our global revenue. Moving on to slide 16, we have the profit and loss account, the comparison between the first 6 months this year to the same period last year. We can see the significant improvement both in revenue and profitability. And of course, in the next couple of slides 17 and 18, we are presenting the balance sheet and the cash flow statements. Of course, all the financials are included and can be found in our investor relations section in our website, along with the press release, which has a very extensive explanation of all key figures. And this concludes my presentation on the financials.
So I think we can move to Q&A.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question on today's call, please press star 1. To withdraw your question, please press star 2. The first question comes from the line of Beatrice Monti from Wellington. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my question. I have a few. The first one is about rating agencies. I was wondering if you can maybe update us on whether you are having conversation with the rating agencies. The credit metrics seems to be ahead of what they were expecting, so obviously the results are very good. So I was wondering whether you have a rating target and if you are in talks with the rating agencies.
Yes. That's their annual review, and the two out of the three we started, we have scheduled meetings in 1 or 2 weeks, I think, or 3 weeks, And we are expecting this to happen with the third one as well. So we hope that we're going to do well there as well, because our numbers, as we have said, are better than expected, significantly better than expected.
Okay. One other thing, what is the sustainable margin that you expect to have, say, in 2 years from now? Would it still be around 70%?
We don't expect any change on the profile of the business.
Okay. Another one, if I may. Of the adjustments that you had in the first in the first half for the on the adjusted EBITDA, I think it's around 22 million. I think those are one-off related to the Axelos acquisition. Can you share a little bit more details of what that is, and then whether you are expecting more in the second half, or whether the adjusted EBITDA will be more of a clean number going forward?
We don't expect any more. This was all related to transaction costs, and there are legal costs of the transaction, the cost that we paid to Morgan Stanley for issuing the bonds, the cost we paid to the advisors, to Bank of America and Morgan Stanley as investment advisors, etc. And I'll pass to George, but to the best of my knowledge, that's it, nothing more. So it's going to be a clean number from now on. George?
Yes, this is exactly the situation. Going forward, this will be a clean number. As Byron said, the transaction costs were as described, exactly.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. And very last one, just on the cyclicality of the business, I think it's very low, and as proven during COVID, but I was wondering if you can share your thoughts about around that.
On the business and IT, there is very, very, very low cyclicality. Essentially, I would say no cyclicality. So the four quarters usually, if it's not 25, they're, let's say, between 23 and 26%, so no cyclicality. On the languages business, there may be some cyclicality. We can see, if you see some of the exam numbers last year, this quarter, we had won a tender in Spain, and then you can see there was bigger exam numbers but a lower price. We made it through. This year, we won again the tender ourselves, but it was cancelled. So there was over there, and also we won another very big tender in a European country. Unfortunately, I cannot say it because right now we are in Alcatel period. But in general, I would say our numbers are not impacted that very much cyclically, and probably among all the other among all the quarters, the one that is a little bit higher is the last quarter, Q4. And the slowest is a little bit closer, more or less, but marginal difference.
Yes, that's super helpful. I was referring more to the resiliency of the business in a downturn.
Yeah. Yes. And this helps because if you have the exams at the end of the day, it's an operation, and if you don't, it doesn't help if you have all your exams, let's say, in 15 days period, because we do online proctoring, etc. So our operation also works quite smoothly.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you so much.
We currently have no questions coming through. As a final reminder, if you wish to ask a question, press star one. The next question comes from Christian Wild. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Hi, it's Christian at Fidelity. Just a quick question on exam volumes, please. So I'm looking at your Q1 presentation, LTM March 22, total number of exams was 747. It's now 704. So can you tell us what happened in the quarter? And I know that some of your exams have been pulled forward given the pricing changes. So can you talk a little bit about organic growth, underlying organic growth in exams? Thank you very much.
George, do you want to take this answer on the number, and then I'll give the general answer?
Yes, sir. Of course, there was a pull-forward effect, as we have discussed in Q1. This was mainly due to the anticipated change in our commercial policy from February 1st. But this pull-forward effect phased out in Q2, and the result of the half one is clear of this pull-forward effect. As we discussed earlier, we are experiencing a real underlying growth comparing H1 2022 and H1 2021.
Now, on the number of the exams on the half one, the point I mentioned earlier on English language, we had sort of 100,000 exams more last year because of this tender. And we don't have it this year. Although we won it, the Spanish government, for other reasons, decided to cancel it. Still, and you can see here on the number of the exams, and of course you can see on the average price is lower because of the tender, we want a lower price. But the organic growth of the business of language is much, much, much better, and it covered all this, and that's why we have all those good numbers. Christian, is it a satisfactory answer?
I might have missed it before, but do you have the number of exams in the quarter, or can, if you don't have it in the presentation, can you talk about the number of exams in the quarter and the year-on-year development?
I think we do have, but if we don't have, yes, we can share this.
Okay,
yes,
thank you.
Then we can share them immediately after this call.
Without going to the breakdown, just total number of exams, yes, of course.
Or if you can share it on the call, it would be even better.
I think it's difficult because we are in different places right now. George is not in Athens, but we can share. We'll try to share it immediately after the call.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Laura Humsey from MFS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my question, and apologies if you mentioned this earlier. I joined a bit later, but could you comment, you previously mentioned sort of potential acquisition targets that you were looking at, and one I think was a little bit larger and would potentially require some additional financing to complete. I just wanted to understand where you stand on that and whether you've had any further discussions or whether we should expect any sort of M&A activity in the near term. Thank you.
Well, that's a very good question. We have, as you understand, a long list of potential targets, some small, some bigger, and we are talking to a lot of them. But I cannot announce anything, and B, you can understand, and that's a general comment, that it's a fluid environment because with everything happening into the market and the market being sort of dysfunctional in those days, discussions take more time than usual. But I hope if we need more money with the good financials we have, if we come to you, you will be supportive.
Thank you. Yes, potentially we would.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's helpful.
Thank you. Thank you.
There are no further questions. I will hand back to your host to conclude today's conference.
Again, thank you for being us. Sorry.
We have available the Q1, the Q2 numbers to share with the rest of the team here. So Q2 22. 200K versus 244. And the reason, as Byron explained, was the tender exams.
How many were last year, George?
244 versus 200.
244. So out of this 244 last year, approximately 100K were the Madrid tender. If we had won this exam, if this tender was going to go through. After we won it, as I mentioned, we would have another 100K exemption. But with lower price and lower profitability, of course. So, thank you very much again to all of you. And I wish good weekend. And if you have to take vacations, especially the ones in southern of Europe, try to enjoy the vacations and talk to you again after summer. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now disconnect.